Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Today's text comes from St. Luke's Gospel, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 36, as follows. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet, and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So far the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to seek and to save those who are lost, dear fellow redeemed. Did you like to do puzzles when you were a child? Perhaps you still do. I liked to do crosswords and word searches. I liked to do the puzzles where you have to find your way out of a maze. But my favorite kind of puzzle at all, of all of them, was the kind where you have to find hidden shapes within a very complicated picture. They used to appear in a magazine called Highlights. I don't know if it still even exists, but I always used to read it at the dentist or the doctor's office, and I always turned right to the page with the hidden shapes. They give you this complicated drawing, and they ask you to find, for instance, 15 flowers hidden somewhere in the picture. And there were always at least one or two that I couldn't find, no matter how hard I tried. And then, of course, you look at the key, the answer key, and there they were all the time, right in front of your face. It seems so obvious when you know where to look. You know, grown-ups, too, sometimes have trouble seeing something that's right in front of their face. In today's text, Jesus is trying to get a point across to a Pharisee named Simon. To do it, he, in effect, gives him a picture to examine, a picture of two debtors suddenly released from their indebtedness. Then Jesus, in effect, asks Simon to find himself in the picture. I think if you look rather closely at this picture of Jesus, you may find yourself hidden in there as well. It's not too hard to solve. This morning's theme is a challenge. Find the debtors in this picture. Find Simon, a debtor who didn't understand how much he owed. Find the woman, a debtor who knew her indebtedness and sought Christ's forgiveness. And finally, find yourself. A man named Simon had invited Jesus to dinner in his house. Simon was a Pharisee, a member of that Jewish religious sect that was so often hypocritical and often trying to trap Jesus in his words and find fault with him. Jesus, however, never turned anyone down, so he accepted the invitation and came to his house for dinner. In those days, people odd as it seems to us, used to lie down to eat. They would recline on low couches or benches and eat at a low table, leaning on their left elbow and reclining. It seems rather strange to us, but it was completely natural for them. Another custom that seems somewhat strange to us was the fact that visitors would very often come into the house while the meal was going on and chat for a few moments, visit, and then leave again. Was perfectly natural to them. It was all very common. What happened in our text, though, was very uncommon and very shocking to everyone present except for Jesus. A woman walked in to the room and stood at Jesus' feet weeping. She was a woman everybody apparently knew, a fallen woman, so-called, perhaps been guilty of adultery or maybe had had a child out of wedlock. The respectable people around the table were shocked. More so when they observed this woman washing Jesus' feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair. They couldn't believe it. Jesus never moved while this person, who was obviously a sinner, proceeded to kiss his feet and to anoint them with a fragrant and costly perfume. Simon the Pharisee was outraged when he observed this. There's a pretty good depiction of it on your bulletin cover for this morning. But he didn't say so out loud. He thought to himself, and this Jesus is supposed to be a prophet. If he really were a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this was who was touching him. Jesus read his thoughts, turned to him and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. So Jesus proceeded to tell the parable of the two debtors. Two men owed money to the same moneylender. One owed 50 denarii and the other owed 500. Now, a denarius was the day's wages for a common working man. Maybe in today's money, we'd say $100. That means one guy owed $5,000 and the other one owed $50,000. Now, that's quite a difference. I think most of us sitting here today, if a terrible catastrophe arose, could probably scrape together or beg or borrow $5,000 somehow. But most of us would have trouble getting $50,000 together. That's a lot of money. So there's quite a lot of difference between the size of the debt that these two men owed, and yet they had one thing perfectly in common. Neither of them could pay. If you've ever had a financial deadline coming up and you weren't sure how you were going to pay your debts, maybe you can identify with some of the misgivings and the anxiety of these men. Appreciate their misery. Days of worry, nights of tossing and turning, dreading the coming day of reckoning. And finally, the fateful day arrives and both men go penniless to the moneylender to meet their doom. But then something astonishing happens. Something they never imagined. Out of the blue, the moneylender decides to simply cancel both their debts completely, as if they had never been incurred. Suddenly, both men find themselves free and clear, and all on account of the kindness and goodness of the heart of the moneylender. Now comes the point. Tell me, therefore, Jesus asked the Pharisee, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. At that point, Simon may have been thinking to himself, well, that's a nice little story, but what does it have to do with me? What's it got to do with this disreputable woman breaking in on my dinner party? So Jesus explained it to him. He challenged him, in effect, to find the debtors in this picture. Simon himself was represented by a character in that parable, and so was the sinful woman. And so, if you think about it, were you and I. Find the debtors in this picture. Simon, of course, is easy to find in the parable. He is the debtor who owed less money. Jesus cast him in that role because that's how Simon saw himself, at least as compared to this openly sinful woman who was there at Jesus' feet. After all, Simon was an upstanding member of the community. He was very religious. He never missed going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He paid his taxes. Certainly he was far above that woman in terms of righteousness, or so he thought. But notice the parable again. In the parable, both debtors are bankrupt. Neither one of them had the means to pay their debt. And by the way, in those days, they didn't just slap you on the wrist if you couldn't pay your debts. They threw you into prison. And it didn't matter if you owed $1 or $1 million, the punishment was the same. Does that remind you of anything? What about the punishment for sin? It doesn't matter if you've committed one sin or 1 million. The punishment is the same for every sinner, eternal death. Simon's problem was that he didn't even realize how much he owed. The Bible says, "The soul that sins, it shall die. And he who shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Simon the Pharisee was ignoring his own sinfulness and his need for a Savior. And the evidence for this was clear, Jesus said. He loved little. When Jesus came to Simon's house, Simon didn't show love for him, didn't even really act very politely when you come down to it. For instance, it was common courtesy in those days for a host to greet his guests with a kiss on the cheek. But Jesus said, "You gave me no kiss." Normally a servant would appear to wash the feet of the guest, but you gave me no water for my feet. For special guests, a drop of scented oil would be placed upon the forehead as a gift, as a sign of welcome. But Simon, you gave me no oil. You did not anoint my head with oil. If Simon the Pharisee had understood exactly how deep was his burden of sin and how deep was his debt of guilt, he would not have omitted these polite customs. He did not know. And he could see that, or he had his nose so high in the air in self-righteousness that he couldn't see his own sin. His lack of love for Jesus was evident, and it proved that he was the worst kind of sinner, a sinner who does not repent of his sins, one who is teetering on the brink of hell. Can you find yourself in this picture? All too often, I'm afraid, you and I are like the debtor who loved little. So often we underestimate how far in debt to sin we've fallen. We explain our sin. We rationalize. We minimize our responsibility for sin. Does it ever happen in your life that instead of kissing Jesus' feet in humble repentance and faith, you rather spit in his face by continuing nonchalantly to do those very sins that you know are against God's word? Do we, like Simon, despise the Lord Jesus? Have we ignored the preaching of his word? Have we scorned the gift of forgiveness by missing the Lord's Supper? Have we been guilty, like Simon, of looking down self-righteous noses at other people whom we consider less righteous and upstanding than we are? You begin to feel it, don't you? The deep conviction that we are dreadful sinners and that the punishment for our sin is dreadful indeed. Fear not, for there is good news in our text for today as well. Find the debtors in this picture. What about the other one? The debtor who was forgiven a debt not of $5,000, but of $50,000. Of course, Jesus was referring to the sinful woman at his feet. That woman was interesting. She had no illusions about her own sinfulness. She knew how low she had fallen and the danger that posed to her eternal soul. She knew all about her sin, but she knew something else too. She knew about her Savior. Perhaps she had heard Jesus speak somewhere, or maybe she had only heard a rumor about him. "The Messiah has appeared," someone may have whispered to her. "His name is Jesus of Nazareth, and he'll forgive the sins of anyone who comes to him." However it happened, the Holy Spirit had put faith in that woman's heart. She knew Jesus was the one who could lift the heavy burden of sin off of her shoulders, and there wasn't anything that would keep her away from him. She knew well that Jesus was the creditor who could forgive her entire debt of sin. She wasn't wrong about that either. Jesus once said, "He who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." While Simon and his other guests looked down their noses at this woman in disgust, Jesus looked upon her with love and with compassion, and he granted her fondest wish. He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace." What a wonderful blessing Jesus bestows to suddenly release you from all of your sin and guilt. The woman must have felt the same way that man did in the parable, the one who was suddenly relieved of a debt of $50,000. Sudden freedom, sudden release, sudden salvation from certain ruin. Her gratitude for Jesus' forgiveness was plain for all to see. There was no pride in that woman as she knelt humbly at Jesus' feet, washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. There was no self-righteousness in the way that she kissed his feet and anointed them with oil. There was only one thing, love for her Savior, Jesus. This love was the evidence of her faith. Of the two characters in the parable, she was the one who loved much. And why? Because she had been forgiven so much. Did I say two characters? Actually, of course, there were three. Because you're in there too. You felt that same conviction of sin that that woman felt. You in your life too have felt the desperate longing for forgiveness. Don't be afraid. It's not too late. Come today to the feet of your Lord Jesus Christ. Sit at his feet and hear his gracious words of forgiveness. He is waiting for you with full remission for every one of your sins and transgressions. When you're driven to cry out with the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" That's when the sweet words of Jesus are most comforting. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." If we find ourselves in this parable, let it be as the one who was forgiven much and loved much. Let us come to our Savior's feet, humbly confessing our sins, not boasting of our own pitiful good works and accomplishments, but seeking the forgiveness that only his grace can provide. We will not be turned away. Are your sins many? So were that woman's, and yet she wasn't turned away. Where sin did abound, our Lord says, there grace did much more abound. It was for that sinful woman that Jesus walked the way of the cross. It was for you that he felt the crown of thorns and the nails in his hands. And it was for me that he died and was buried. Our sins have been atoned for by Jesus. Our debt has been canceled. We have been forgiven. My fellow Christians, let our lives show the world that we who have been forgiven much can love much too. It is Jesus' final words to the woman that make this passage especially comforting and beautiful. A famous Lutheran theologian was once asked what he most wanted in life. He replied, "For myself, I want no more than what Christ gave to that sinful woman. The words, 'Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" My friends, if that sounds as good to you as it does to me, then I think we've found our place in this puzzle, haven't we? By the grace of God, our eternal future is secure in Christ. Amen.